Well, the information age has clearly changed our world, but what's it doing to the developing minds of young people? Today, the Australian Council on Children and the Media is holding a conference to consider that very question. One of the expert voices taking part in the discussion is Dr. Philip Tam. He is a child and adolescent psychiatrist and a lecturer in psychiatry at Sydney University. He's speaking here with Barney Porter.
How young is too young to begin absorbing this technology, do you think, with young minds developing as they do?
Well, it's a very tough question, and it's clearly one which, if you like, the specialists and the experts have not really yet got a clear answer for. I guess one way of looking at it is that we do live now in a very rapidly changing media and IT-dominated world, so we can't now, if you like, insulate a lot of the younger kids, and I guess we're talking about 4, 5, or 6-year-olds from the technology. They will look at parents and families, you know, smartphones and tablets and so on. The key question is how to get them from a very young age, how to educate them and train them into using it properly and healthily and avoid what we might call the addictive problems later on, which, yes, clinicians are beginning to see at increasingly a younger age. It used to be your kind of teenagers, 14, 15, 16, that seemed to be developing problems with, quote, internet addiction. It does seem to be creeping downwards as younger people get exposed to this. But certainly, it's all about monitoring by the family, ensuring they have what we might call healthy media habits, so certainly not using it so long that they're not having regular meals, regular snacks, and absolutely not using it well into the evening, so it's beginning to affect their sleeping patterns.
Well, what actually is the definition of an addiction? How long is too long to be using this technology?
I'm afraid I'm going to say there isn't, again, a clear, hard and fast answer for this. The internet is not a unitary phenomenon. It's a medium. It's an infinitely expandable and malleable and changing medium. So you can be using the internet or really the World Wide Web for schooling, for entertainment, for business, for shopping, for social networking, and just for accessing things like videos and music online. So it's not just the time you're spending on it, because you could actually be spending all of your waking hours legitimately online by engaging in all of these things and still being productive. It's really about whether there is what we as clinicians would call a clinically significant impact in your day-to-day functioning. Things like sleep, going to school, of course, coming down for family dinners, affecting your homework, and so on. And those are what we might call the early warning signs, because we do know that the illness can, if it is an illness, the condition will progress over time in a lot of cases if it's not kind of picked up on at an early stage.
You just described a mental disorder,
yep.
But arguably some of this technology is dealing with social interaction. If they're not necessarily communicating with family members,
yep.
Aren't teenagers engaging socially and therefore developing their social skills via the web?
That's absolutely clear that the web is a fantastic tool overall. All of us, young adults, children, and of course adults, use the web in amazingly empowering, enjoyable ways. But I again come back to that key criterion on, is it causing a clinically significant impact on your other functioning?
That's Dr. Philip Tam, child and adolescent psychiatrist, and a fascinating discussion. If you want to hear more of it, it'll be on the website, the World Today website.